warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Yardline.
Greetings, 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 greetings to the brightest audience in the nation. I am not Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and affectionately known in some parts as the nation's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. I am Doug McBurney from The Weekly Worldview. You can find me every Sunday night over at theweeklyworldview.com. I want to thank Bob, for letting me sit in. I got the bat signal yesterday. Apparently, Bob's been kidnapped by creationists and taken to an undisclosed location somewhere in the Midwest. Was that the message was kind of garbled. Is that pretty much what happened? Yeah, he's been taken by creationists. I think they're going to strap him down and put one of those metal things on his brain with the big electrodes over his head and just suck out all his vast quantities of knowledge so that they can keep it in a database for creationism there in the Midwest. They're going to extract all the data. Anyway, Bob's not here today, and I want to thank him for allowing me to sit in, if indeed he can hear me through all the high voltage and everything that's going on out there. Do we know where he is? We don't know where he is. I guess it doesn't matter. He's in an undisclosed location, which is probably better for everyone. Now, I had everything set here for what I was going to do for the show, but then I saw this headline on Drudge. The headline reads, a man accused of trying to sell a baby on Craigslist for $100. So naturally, I was looking for the link because I would have bought the kid. Now, is that illegal? Should that be illegal? Well, let me tell you a little bit of detail about the story since I've gotten into it. A Staten Island man, according to CBS in New York, is accused of trying to sell a two-month-old baby on Craigslist. Paul Marcus, 23-year-old punk, posted the ad on the website twice last month offering a baby for sale for $100. Child is the daughter of a 19-year-old woman that Marcus had met online and dated a couple of times. Okay, so we don't know if the baby's his or, well, he dated her a couple of times. And I think these days the term dating includes things that can, you know, end up producing children. But turns out, the ad apparently wasn't serious. He just did it all to get back at the child's mother, who he thinks doesn't spend enough time with him or the baby. He did it all to get back at the mother because she doesn't spend enough time with him. Well, anyways. So should it be illegal for completely imbecilic, young, stupid children to just sell their babies to people who could probably do a better job of raising them? I would buy this baby, were it legal. It would be one of the best things that ever happened to this kid if I was able to purchase the baby. At least one person, according to the mother, called and offered to buy the child. The punk has been arrested, and he's being held on $1,000 bail. There's no report on what's happened to this poor child, who looks like he's the child is the product of this fornicating relationship between these two children. So should that be illegal? I mean, if you're a complete idiot and a child and a serial fornicator and you find that you've produced a child and you have no business raising that child. By the way, this punk, he says the mother doesn't spend enough time with him. Makes me think the kid is his. How come he hasn't offered to marry her? I think if he married her, she would probably spend more time with him. And he might even grow up and be a decent human being instead of a stupid punk. I said he was from Staten Island. The baby's 2 months old. Unfortunately, I was not able to answer the ad in time. It's been taken down and he's been taken to jail. Anyway, I wish there was an easy way for responsible adults to adopt children much more easily, because it's very difficult and expensive. And if you could do it on Craigslist for $100, I think a lot of kids in a lot of bad situations, they could end up with people like me and my wife, and we take good care of them. And we'd even give them a couple $100. for the kid, but I think it's illegal. Although I'm not sure it should be. What do you think out there in the audience? Do you have any opinion on this? I just caught this headline as I was about to go on the air, and it got me somewhat distracted. What should the controls be for adopting or putting kids up for adoption? Should it be as easy as going to Craigslist? I tell you, my wife and I have thought about adopting, and we wish there was a very simple clearinghouse. We'd be willing to go and take a test and do whatever you have to do to become classified as a normal, upstanding, generally responsible human being who could actually raise the child. Anyway, what a sad story. Well, this is what happens when you decriminalize fornication. You end up with 19-year-olds and 23-year-olds who have no idea what they're doing, and they end up with children. And these children are going to grow up in very bad situations. And it's not going to end well for most of these kids. It's really sad. Really sad to see. All right, speaking of children, ladies and gentlemen, the Brady Project is rapidly drawing to a close. We're running out of time. We're out gathering signatures. The petition drive is in the home stretch. So I want to ask you, if you have not yet, go to avoiceforbrady.com, get a petition. Check the calendar for events. They've got all kinds of great events. You can go and collect signatures for life. Stand up for those who cannot speak for themselves. And encourage Christians out there who maybe are uncomfortable with the whole question of whether or not it should be legal to kill innocent people. It's kind of embarrassing that we're at that point where we have to actually engage in a debate with our fellow man over whether or not we should outlaw the killing of all innocent people. Not just some innocent people, but all of them. I had that debate last week with a fellow who insisted that, well, there should be some exceptions. And I said, well, let's take it out of the context of abortion and let's just talk about human beings. I said, which innocent people should we have the right to kill? And he said, well, none. And I said, well, just walk that back into the womb. It's all very simple common sense, wouldn't you think? But see, he thinks that that's too lofty of a goal. Too lofty to have in America. He thinks it's too lofty a goal that we should want it to be illegal to kill any innocent person. Well, that's just shooting for the moon. All innocent people? Are you sure? Anyway, that's kind of sad. But folks, if you can help, we really do need your help. We're running out of time. We're in the final home stretch here. We need, we probably need 100,000 more signatures. So if you can go out and get one or get 10 or get 50, get a petition, sign it yourself and mail it in. At least you will have had an impact. At least there will be a record for all time that you stood up for what was right and you spoke the truth. And you stepped up to defend those who cannot defend themselves, those who are the most vulnerable. Innocent people whose lives are sought and taken every day by bloodthirsty, humanist, selfish, evil, wicked people. So help us out. Go to avoiceforbrady.com. What? My producer is sending me hand signals. I didn't take that in school. Oh, sure, a call? I'm always game to take a call. So we're going to try and put the caller up on the air here. Meanwhile, I want you to go to avoiceforbrady.com. I want you to get a petition, sign it yourself. Take it to church. Take it to Bible study. Take it to the grocery store. Try and get another signature. You can increase your impact by 100% if you sign it and then go get one. All right, now my producer has put a relatively unreadable note in front of me. I think it says Sean, and it's Sean in Commerce City. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. Speak your mind.
Hello. Hi. Thank you. I just want to say I really think you guys are doing great work and standing up for the word and letting people know that, yeah, if we're saying we're Christians, we have to do just that, stand up for what the Bible says, you know.
Amen, Sean. I mean, if the Christians don't stand up for those who cannot defend themselves, who will?
Exactly. You know, I've heard cases like that over the years with people selling their babies, and in a lot of ways, I want to say we should make it illegal, you know, but initially I'm 48 years old, I'm still young, I was born 65, so I grew up in the 70s, 80s, but it's over the years we took the Bible out of the homes and the communities, and when you don't teach that, that's what's going to happen. You know, we're going to have these generational curses, you know, the kids doing these things, and even criminals. I've heard studies on shows where criminals have been interviewed, and they said if they knew for a fact that they were going to get severely punished or, you know, killed when they got caught, many of them said, I've gotten help earlier or this and that and so on, but we don't teach the values in them. We don't teach standards. And then this stuff pops up, and it's just sad.
You know? Sean, you make a very interesting point. You talk about a generational curse, and that's interesting because just last night, I was reading the Bible, the book of Exodus, to my three children, as I want to do every night, if that's possible. And we read in Exodus where God says, I am a jealous God.
Yes.
I am a vengeful God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. And I had to stop there, and I had to explain that to my three children, because I wanted them to understand that God doesn't punish children for their parents' sins. He doesn't directly come and curse them or punish them.
Yeah.
But God has built into the system, the way the world works, he has built it in so that if the father does sin, that those iniquities can certainly be visited upon the children to the third and fourth generation. But, there is a way out of that vicious cycle. And that is just what you just said, bringing the Bible back into the home, the most important place for it, Sean.
Well, you know, again, we've gotten so away from it. It's like, you know, you think about even with these shootings. I mean, there's been shootings since the 1930s, but it has gotten worse because a lot of it, too, it's like, we're not giving the kids and the young adults, we're not providing an outlet for them to deal with their anger. The Columbine shooting, I remember hearing a year before they did the shooting, these kids were doing threatening emails and talking, you know, nasty stuff, but the thing is, nobody stepped in, you know.
Well, how would anyone have had the right to step in, to tell them that they were doing anything wrong?
Exactly.
So, I mean,
you know, it's like, okay, I was just going to say quick that, you know, even like if you when you see something like that, hey, talk to the person, find out something. But that's the thing. Nobody wants to get involved anymore. Yeah, we make all these laws. Well, you can't say this or you can't say that. And it's like, well, if we don't give them a right way to deal with their anger the right way, then, yeah, they're going to do something. They're either going to kill themselves or kill others. And I'm sure you know, too, I hear you guys do studies and look into stuff and you have guests. Yeah, the suicide rate amongst teenagers and young adults has gone up, in the last 15, 20 years?
Yeah.
Last 5 years, it's gotten worse. But why? Because we're not providing a way for them to deal with their problems the right way. And, of course, here, we're not teaching the word. You know?
That's right. In fact, the word has been outlawed in the government schools, which is why I tell anyone who will listen to me that to get your kids out of the government schools. Get them out. Rescue them out now. Because you are sinning against your child and you're sinning against God if you send them into a godless environment. Where, you know what the fact is, Sean? With a biblical worldview, it's a lot easier to deal with anger because you understand the whole history of the whole world and you understand human nature and you understand the nature of the Creator and you understand the nature of judgment and justice. So it's a lot easier to deal with anger. But if you're a teenage punk who's been raised in the government schools, and you've never been taught the history of where you came from and why things are the way they are, I can understand why a lot of these young kids go ballistic and they can't deal with their anger because they really don't understand.
Exactly. Well, and it's the homes, too. We got to start teaching it in the homes.
It's the homes
mom
first.
And dad, mom and dad don't teach them and teach the word. And again, I'm sure you probably know, I've heard studies that communities and families that teach their kids the Bible and have that family time along with going to church, when those kids get older, they carry that into their life. They become productive citizens, whether they're a lawyer, governors, or so on.
Well, wait a minute, Sean. Maybe not if they're a lawyer. Come on.
Well,
but wait a minute.
There's some good lawyers out
there.
Sean,
Sean, I think there's a Bible verse somewhere deep down in what Sean is saying. Warning, warning, warning. Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead for those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity. We know here at Bob and Yart Live that you would like to censor anyone who would ever dare even consider the possibility of quoting a Bible verse in public, so this warning gives you fair notice that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. And the Bible says... Sean, what is the Bible verse that you were hitting all the way around? I don't want to steal your thunder.
I'm sorry. I can't think offhand. I know the one you're talking about. I just can't remember offhand. That's why I get to learn to read my Bible a little bit more, too.
No, this is the point in the show where I don't want to quote the Bible verse. I want to tell people to go to the Bible and look it up for themselves. Okay, I won't give it chapter and verse, but I'm going to tell people, just try to find this line in the Bible. Now, you might have to look and read through the whole book in order to find it. But believe me, it'll be worth it. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. That's what Sean just said, because you know what? If you're taught the Bible when you're young, I really believe this, that if you're taught the Bible when you're young, it's much easier for you to come to a relationship with Jesus Christ later in your life, even if you rebel, even if you fall into sin and do evil and wickedness. There's a foundation that can be laid in the mind of a young child that there simply is no substitute for just getting the word into their little skulls full of mush, as Rush Limbaugh likes to say.
Yeah. Well, you're teaching them something that works, but also most of all, you're teaching them about someone that is real, and he's there, and he can give us, he's a loving God, a caring God, but he's also a just God.
Amen, brother. Yeah. Amen. All right. Hey, and you end up with some well-adjusted kids who are salvageable in the end.
Well, I do believe we have a chance to make a difference, but again, we have to stand up. If we're saying we're Christians, we got to stand up in all areas, homosexuality, abortion, these things that the government's applying to a lot of, we have to stand up and teach them and show them the right way and live it and let them know. It says, hey, your methods are only going to go this far. God's methods will go all the way.
Amen. Preach it, Brother Sean from Commerce City. Calling them out. Stand up, my brothers and sisters.
Well, keep me in your prayers. I'm still struggling with some things myself. I'm learning to manage my money better. I'm staying with a friend of mine who's going through some stuff. I'm helping out. He can't see too well. So
what do you do for a living, Sean?
I worked for a flagging company. As a matter of fact, the last 2 years, 2.5 years, I was in Boulder on some major projects.
A flagging company? They make flagons?
No.
The big glass that you drink ale out of?
No, flagging. The guys with the signs.
Flagging.
Yeah, and I actually, when I was in Boulder the last 2.5 years, because I moved back to Connecticut where I'm from, then just recently moved back here to help him out, but I got on some major project where I just started waving to people, and I literally had a whole town. I had bus drivers, police officers, people at stores, and, we talk about you all the time. You're the nicest guy, and, I was at the university. I had the kids come up to me and say, the whole school talks about you, because I just wanted to try and put a smile on their face, and hopefully from there maybe get them thinking about what they believe. I had a chance to talk to some kids and some adults about their, when I had time when I was working, to talk to them about the Bible. So I just wanted to try and do what I could to spread the word. And, there's a lot of construction going on, so I'll be in that. I got work here.
You're going to get back in business, Sean. Well, that's, you recall to me a different time in America. And it might just be where I grew up. I grew up in a small town out in the middle of the West Texas. But out there, when you drove past somebody on the highway, You had your hand, dangling over the steering wheel, but you always at least gave the little lift of, a little high. Anyway, but it was a small town. Here in the city, if you do that, I guess you end up with arthritis. But also, the flag guys used to always wave and smile. Now you can't get a flag guy to look at you cross-eyed. I don't know. Maybe people are just too busy. Maybe it's just the big city and all that. But what a blessing, Sean. It's just great to hear from you, brother.
Glad to hear you.
Well, we'll definitely.
There's sometimes I hear some things I don't quite agree with you guys, but at the same time, I do feel you guys are doing the work. I just want to say, keep up doing what you're doing too.
Well, Sean, do you want to get into something we disagree on real quick, just so people don't think this call was a setup?
Well, sometimes when you mention on the homosexuality things, and believe me, I know it's a sin, and it's just sometimes some of the wording how you say it, and then saying the homos and stuff, it just seems like in some ways you're, like, you guys are attacking, and we need to do it in the right way, but I just don't want to feel like, it just seems like it may push somebody away in the way and say, well, these guys are this and that, and that's not, yes, we have to let people know that homosexuality is wrong, and why it's wrong, and so on.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes I feel sometimes when you guys are doing it, and I hear sometimes you laugh a little bit, it's almost like I think that someone might hear that, and they say, oh, you're making fun of us,
Well, Sean, I'll take that under advisement, because I'll tell you what. We've been attacked so often and so fiercely and so vociferously that sometimes we tend to get into a fight-or-flight type reaction, and maybe we do need to stop and think, because, the ultimate goal with the homosexuals, well, first of all, it's to stop them from killing me and my children. That's my first goal. I want to stop them, okay?
Yeah.
There is an existential threat that exists in real time that I'm actually afraid of, and I want to stop them. But
I agree.
Secondary to that, to preventing them from hurting me or my children, is I would like to see them understand that there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ if they can repent of their wickedness.
Yes.
So
process. I've had a few I've talked to that got a little hostile, and it is sad. I mean, and I hear that on, you know, I hear it on other stations, and they talk, and yeah, they do. A lot of them do get it. And there's a part of you, the human, you do want to sort of lash out, but you're like, no, let's do it the right way. But it is sad how a lot of them say they want to be tolerant, but yet how many times they do attack us, and Jesus didn't, you know, people look in the Word, and he said he didn't come here to be tolerant. He came here to divide the world, to see who's going to stand by him and who's not going to stand by him.
Amen, brother.
They always want to pull that out. So, oh, he wants us to be loving. Yeah, he wants us to be loving. He wants us to be kind, but he also wants us to live the life that he wants for us, and the reason why. And, you know, he knows what's better for us.
Yeah, and you know, Sean, I think that there's a fundamental misunderstanding out there about what it means to be loving.
Yeah.
Because if someone is on a path of self-destruction, the loving thing to do is to rebuke him, get his attention, offer him correction. But see, that's not viewed as love with the homosexuals. If you judge them or rebuke them, well, you must be hateful. Well, actually, I love you enough to try to prevent you from killing yourself and from spending an eternity apart from God in torture and hell. I love you enough for that. And it may come across as hateful only because those who hate the truth see the truth as hate. And of course, when I've been rebuked for my sin, quite often my initial reaction has been to get my back up and get angry and get defensive and make accusations against my accuser. And then later on, I sit down and I realize that it was me who was wrong. And that's the heart. I think that's the heart of David. And I think that's the heart that God looks for in men, someone who's willing to admit that they're wrong and humble themselves and get over the anger and the defensiveness and admit you were wrong and repent and change your heart. That's all God's looking for. He doesn't want to control your life.
Exactly.
He doesn't want to make you do it. He doesn't want to make you do anything. All he wants is you. That's all. He just wants
you. We have to make the conscious choice to say, okay, I'm going to accept you. And I was going to say real quick, there's a saying, the truth hurts. We don't want to hear the truth. We want to hear what we want to hear.
Yeah, ain't that the truth, brother?
Yeah.
All right, Sean.
Well,
God bless
you
up there
in
Commerce City. Thank you for calling.
Yeah,
and,
thank you.
And Sean, go to avoiceforbrady.com, order a petition, and just sign it yourself if you're a registered voter.
Yes, I am, yeah.
Well, just do that. Go get. Do you have internet?
I do. Yes, I do get it.
Well, go online, order a petition. They'll send it to you for free. Sign it yourself. Maybe you get one friend. And then for all eternity, there will be a record that when Sean was asked, will you stand up for the one who cannot speak for himself, for the one whose life is being sought to be killed? Will you stand up? Sean, there'll be a record for all eternity that you stood up and said, here I am. I will stand. That's avoiceforbrady.com. God bless you, Sean.
Wish you the best
out there. Want to remind everybody to be extra nice to all the flagmen out there at all the construction sites. And if you're in the northern metro area and one of them happens to wave and smile, it's probably Sean. What a cool guy. All right, now I've gotten completely sidetracked from what I was going to do. Sean mentioned, I hate to even say it, he mentioned a certain type of perversion that we probably talk about too much on the air. But I want to get into something else that I think we can all agree on. Okay? And I covered this last night in my show. And I would encourage you all to go to theweeklyworldview.com and download last night's show. Or go to iTunes and just search for Doug McBurney. And way down in the back in the bottom corner, hidden behind a couple other things, you'll find it on iTunes, and just get my dissertation on this subject. We're going to go to Morocco, a story I downloaded from CNN. Over in Morocco, a convicted Spanish pedophile was pardoned by the government in Morocco, and that has sparked angry protests throughout Morocco. This Spanish citizen who was in Morocco was convicted of, I don't even know if I can say what he was convicted of. It's so horrifying. He was convicted of assaulting 11 Moroccan children. The children ranged in age from 4 years to 14 years. And this pervert assaulted them. He was sentenced to 30 years in prison back in September of 2011. But for some reason, he was pardoned recently. Oh, by the way, he was a retired professor. A school teacher. Now, for whatever reason, it's a mystery to me, certainly. He was pardoned by the king, or at least the king's court. Well, on Friday, this Friday past, hundreds of angry demonstrators protested outside the country's parliament building. And this morning, King Mohammed VI, the king of Morocco, decided to withdraw the pardon of this. I don't even want to talk. I don't even want to discuss what this guy did. So, borderline riots in the streets in front of the parliament building. And King Mohammed VI looks out his window. He sees the pitchforks. He sees the torches. And he says, you know what? I think maybe we shouldn't pardon this child molester. So the king has withdrawn the pardon. Only problem is the deviant, pervert, scumbag may have already left the country. Yeah, I mean, he was pardoned. They let him out so fast, apparently. Anyway, he may not even be in the country anymore. And the Moroccans want to talk to the Spanish government now about trying to get him back. And Moroccans are on social media trying to organize another protest in the next few days to let the king know how angry they are about the fact that they have been asked to tolerate a child molester. Now, I think this is something we could all agree on. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat or a liberal or whatever. I think we can all agree that child molesters, upon conviction, should be put to death. Can we not all agree on that? Because if we cannot all agree on that, I think you need to leave. If you don't agree with that, I don't think you're a civilized human being, and I don't think you should be allowed to participate in the family of man. And whoever the lawyer or the judge was who convinced Americans that we have to tolerate pedophiles, I mean, can anybody tell me where that started? It must have started before I was born. I think there was a time, by the way, I was born at what I think was the high water mark of America. I was born, unfortunately, I was born in my 1968, and the whole time it's been a downhill slide ever since my birth, and I just want to let you all know that I was not responsible. I was an innocent child at the time. How did I know that 1968 would be the high water mark and that we've been sliding into the sewer ever since? I didn't know. But I think there was a time before I was born when child molesters were executed fairly swiftly, at least in Texas where I grew up. But what's happened now, they take them and they register them and they put them in jail for a while and then they release them back into the community. And if there's one thing I think that we should all be able to coalesce around, it's a subject like this, and we need to follow the lead of the Moroccan citizens here. And the next time one of these perverts are allowed to walk back into one of our communities, we need to go down to City Hall and let them know how angry we are about it and that we're not going to tolerate it. Something has to change. I refuse to tolerate this level of a threat to my children. I have three girls, and I am not going to allow these perverts to come and live in my neighborhood. And I ain't leaving, okay? All right. And I say that with all Christian love to all my fellow men. All right. Bob will be back Thursday for Theology Thursday. And I'll be back sometime soon. So just keep that in mind. And Bob will be back Friday for Real Science Radio. Until then, do right and risk the consequences.